Are we on the air? We're on the air. I think it's kind of funny. We were just sitting here trying to make sure that we had everything ready to go. And the phone which we record with starts ringing. And I went, who in the world's trying to call us, you know, right in the middle of service? And I don't know. Whatever it was, I just kept hearing that ringing sound. I thought, okay, well, sooner or later it comes up, so it's not me, it's that. We'll see how it goes. What's that? Yeah. Let's take our Bibles. Let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 22. And the last couple of weeks, we've been working on the final word. And one final notice, I think, is what we have it, realizing that we want to make sure that everything's ready to go. We're going to be looking at verses 4 through 7 as we take a look at the conclusion. And inevitably, when we talk about eschatology and we talk about the end of it, we're going to get into some very important aspects of the study as well. And verse 4 says, And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and there need no candle, neither light nor of the sun. For the Lord giveth them light, and shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servant the things which must surely be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Now, what's interesting as we begin to take a look at the conclusion of eschatology, I want us to understand that all of these things are a mystery to us because we've not lived them yet. This is the power of prophecy. This is the power of things that need to be shown to us from the things that are ahead of us, as well as to entice all of the different things that are there and that are written for our good. So we want to go to the Lord in prayer, and let's ask him to give us the direction and that care which we need as we study the conclusion of the matter at this moment. Father, again, I want to thank you that you are allowing me to stand before the congregation today. And Lord, I know that in every detail of my life, I give the opportunity to preach the Word of God, to tell others of Christ, and Lord, to be an example, whether it's to the people I work with, the people that are around me. And Lord, I know that there are many things that I desire within my heart, but only you can give that which is needed. So guide us therefore, Father, and help us to be faithful in all things. And Lord, open up the Word of God in the matter that we are about to read, and help us to understand what you have given us. And may we trust in you in all things, for it's in Christ we pray. Amen. I want to show you something this morning that I think is pretty interesting. If we go backwards, you'll notice that for each page, most of us have a red letter edition Bible. And if you go back to John or Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, we find the introduction of Jesus Christ as he's given to us. And then we go to chapter 2. Once again, we find all the letters that are going to be addressed to the different churches that we find there. And of course, red letter edition allows us to see it. And then we go into chapter 3. And once again, the red letter edition that is there going to be to the remaining churches that are in Asia Minor. But now, after that, we don't hear a lot directly from the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that the message isn't from the Lord. It doesn't mean it means we don't directly hear from the Lord. He has already ascended on high. He's already above us, and he's watching down upon us. However, in the conclusion of chapter 22, we find a different story. It opens up in verse 7, the first words that we hold, that we are hearing from Jesus Christ, right from his lips. Notice what the Lord says. Behold, I come quickly, and this is verse 7. Behold, I come quickly, blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Now, I don't know about you, but the word prophecy tells me these things haven't happened yet. Now, reality is that when I take a look at prophecy, it means that these things are waiting to happen. Now, when Jesus, you know, there's a lot of argument that goes in right now that says that, well, all these things have already happened. At what point do we physically know that Jesus Christ is upon the earth right now? We don't know that. And if Jesus is upon the earth, he is completely out of control. Think about this. Many years ago, I remember that we had a group of Jehovah's Witnesses that would go around, and one of the statements they said is, Jesus Christ going to remove all sins from this world? Did he come to take away the sins of the world? Now, you and I would answer that, of course, he would take away, that he did take away the sins of this world. And then they would turn around and say, but he failed. How many of y'all ever were confronted with that? And the reality is that they would say that he failed because they wanted to prove that he had not committed. And I remember one time that I looked at him and I went, that's interesting that you would make that statement. I said, where did he fail? And the reality is they had never known Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but they wanted a portion of his book for their own writings. And I said, who makes the determination, the writings that you're going to use the scripture? I said, you don't want to call him scripture. You want to say, oh, he was a good man. He did this, he did that, and he did the other. I said, you haven't read. You don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior. I said, don't give me that garbage that he failed. Now, I've got to be careful that I don't get too carried away. Reality is that when Jesus said, blessed be he that is keeping the sayings of the prophecy of this book, he is saying, I am going to come, and when I do come, everything's going to happen quickly. 7 years, and, you know, 7 years is not that long of a time. Now, think about that for a moment. 7 years cannot be possibly a long period of time. And yet, the more that we look at it, the more that we see that there's a lot of people that they want to say, well, you know, in the grand scheme of things. And I remember one time that I had a person that was a mid-tribus. He may still be alive. And one of the things that he confronted me was, the fact is that, well, how many years is the Lord going to take? And I said, 6,000 years is what this earth is determined to be. And he goes, And he said, and then 7 years. And then 70 days afterwards, because, you know, there's going to be the preparation and everything that goes on. And he said, so it's over 6,000 years. I said, what are you getting on? He said, well, if you really believe that the Lord's going to return at such time, and in his mind, because I made the statement that then everything is going to be brought in order, in his mind, that meant that 6,000 years should be the end of the earth. I said, no, it's not going to be the end of the earth. I said, in fact, I said, 1,000 years is not the end of the earth until God says it's the end of the earth. And I said, think about this. In Revelation chapter 20, matter of fact, I want you to go back there a little bit. Notice again, in Revelation chapter 20, in verse 7 says, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Now this is Revelation chapter 20, verse 7. And shall go and deceive the nations, which are four quarters of the earth. God Now, let's be honest. How long is that going to take to prepare these people for this great battle? I don't know. Maybe it's instantaneous. But the reality is that he is going to get everyone that wants to go against the word of God to come to battle. In verse 9, and when they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from from God. Notice the battle does not belong to the Lord, but the final battle belongs to God. Now, how long? But the reality is that when we finally see that all of the sinful people are going to be taken off the earth, this is going to be at the end of the thousand-year reign of Christ. I believe that. Now, how do I know that? Because at the very end of all this, in fact, it says, and shall devour them. And verse 10 said, and the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and there shall be forever and ever. In other words, eternally. He's going to be cast into that lake of fire. And I saw a great there's no more heavens. There's no place for no place for them. And I saw the dead. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Now let's just be honest. The reality is that you take a look at all the things, and this is the final judgment from God, and he's going to bring everything into issue. Now, let's go back here just for a moment. All these things are going to happen, and literally, when we take a look at chapter 20, chapter 21, chapter 22, it's very quickly. It happens very quickly. I don't know how quickly it is, but it's going to be quicker than what we're used to. Reality is that when I think of that word quickly, it means once it starts, no one's going to put an end to it. Now, I want you to look at this. Turn with me, if you will, to Revelation chapter 1, and I want you to see what is written, you know, as far as the quickness of how quickly these things are going to occur. Look at Revelation 1:1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show his servant the things which must shortly. When is that going to occur? I don't know. But in the grand scheme of things, and I mean, I'm living in my life right now. Today is my birthday. Happy birthday to me, okay? It's my 69th year upon this earth. But think about this. I've had the opportunity to preach the gospel for 69 years. Now, mind you, from the time that I was saved, take away 9 years. But I've had the opportunity to preach the gospel all these many years. In the grand scheme of things, my life is short. In the grand scheme of things, even 2,000 years is short. So when Jesus says shortly, he's speaking of himself. Now think about this for a moment. When the Lord said, do you realize that we're only talking about 7 years in the sight of God? Wow! 7 is always the sign of completion. The end of 6 means the end of the man's time. So when shortly comes to pass, that means all of these things are going to happen quickly. Even now, think about this for a moment. Even while we're preaching the word of God, all of us will be taken off of this earth. Just that quickly. Now, once that happens, there's going to be people scurrying around going, whatever happened to them all? Believe it or not, there's going to be some people that are going to still drive through Chick-fil-A. I mean, I've had people tell me, they said, man, I cannot get over how quickly these cars go through. And I'm going, yeah. And I said, we're going to shut down here pretty soon so we can expand it even further to make sure that everything's ready to go. But how quickly things can happen. But when we think of quickly, now come on, think about this. When we think about quickly, we're talking instantaneously. That brings me to John's writings in verse 8 of chapter 22. Notice what it says. And this is a switch. So this is going to take our final notes. Now, if you did not get a copy of the final notes, they're in the back. And again, I'm not going to try to read everything, but I want you to see, as we go through verse by verse in these studies, all the applications that is there. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. And he saith unto me, see, thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and thy fellow brethren, thy brethren, the same of this book and worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Now, think about this for a moment. John is about to write these things, and he's interrupted. He's interrupted by a fellow prophet. Could have been Daniel? Maybe. Could have been Zechariah? Maybe. Could have been Amos? Maybe. We don't know which prophet is going to be allowed to come in before John and to write it down. Now, understand, here's where we get into a lot of discussion. The reality is that we see the word angel, and we're saying is, okay, there's an angel. No, there's a prophet. The reality is we're clearly defined on who this individual is in verse 9. And he saith unto me, see, thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant. Now, understand this. This person has the opportunity to explain to John the things that are about ready to be written. But there are certain things that are kept from us in detail. In verse 10, I want you to see this with me. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. In other words, do not record the things you're about to see or the things you're seeing right now. Do you realize that as John is getting ready to pen down these things, we are not allowed to see what is in eternity? Now, imagine eternity. How many of us understand what eternity means? I'm not going to get older. I was blessed the other day when I told somebody my age and went, well, you don't look that old. I'm like, oh, man. They said, you look older. Well, that was a short-lived moment. But the reality is that we all younger. We all be younger. We use this shampoo or that shampoo so we can be a little bit younger. Or we really put on this cosmetic so we look younger. The reality is God knows who we are. And he knows his own. Now, I know that eternity is going to be spread out where I see a lot of younger people. Now, I want you to get this. Awaiting for me on the other side of glory are my father and my mother, my brother David, I believe that with all my heart, and all of those who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ who went ahead of me. I'm going to see Brother Willard Pyle, who was my pastor. I'm going to see Brother James Hobbs. Funny story is, I met someone the other day, and they said, do you know Brother Hobbs? I said, oh, yeah. How many times have I preached over at South Shore? And I said, you know what? I didn't like that man. I didn't like him at all because, I mean, he looked like a Muppet. And whenever he would teach me, he had those big, furry eyebrows. Whenever he'd blink those eyebrows closed, I thought that man was a Muppet. And I remember that he taught on a Tuesday night the life and epistles of Paul by Edersheim. I mean, that book is that thick. I made a 78, and I was ashamed. And he looked at me and he goes, you did better than half the class. I said, doesn't matter. I thought he was the meanest man because he gave me a 78. Well, years later, when he asked me to come preach, you know, to recognize the work that was being done in Jackson, Ohio, I walked in and I preached for Brother James Hobbs, and I went, what'd you do with Brother Hobbs? I said, the meanest man that ever lived upon the earth, and I told him that. And he kind of chuckled. He goes, Well, I guess there's one thing to be said about the teacher versus the real person. And come to find out that he wasn't that way at all. Now think about this. We all perceive that we're something that we're not. How many of us think we're smart? How many of us think that we are really good at what we do? The reality is, the more I pour into the Bible, the more I realize I'm nothing at all. I cannot wait to sit at the feet of Jesus and said, explain these things to me. And it begins in the millennial reign. It doesn't begin in eternity. We somehow go from the time that the Lord returns, we skip over the millennial reign, and we go right in to eternity. There's 1,000 years that need to be explained. And it's given to us in Revelation chapter 20 how that there's 1,000 years of the millennial reign of Christ, and we are going to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ from that time forth. Now think about that for a moment. We don't understand because we want to jump into eternity. Now already we have seen the bride, and I've had a lot of people say, well, you know, I don't understand what you mean by the bride. Very simply, I believe that this is the highest calling that any saved individual can be brought to, and that is the bride. And the reality is that when I take a look at the bride, it says that she hath made herself ready. I do not believe in works, but I believe that there is a distancing. Here's what's funny. Many times we say, and he that overcometh. Now what does that mean? He that overcometh. That means that I have brought my body to subjection. I don't know. The things of God. Now we have all either succeeded or failed at some point in our lives. But the reality is that he that has been called unto the bride, she has made herself ready. Are you ready? Do you feel like you're part of the bride? You know, and I've had so many people that they'll say, well, if you're married and divorced, you can't be a part of the bride. Show me that in Scripture. Show that to me in Scripture. Well, if I don't give my tithes and offerings, I'm not a part of the bride. Show me that in Scripture. And, you know, it's funny is that a lot of times I don't write a check. I give cash whenever I pay my tithes and offerings. And the main reason is because I'm a horrible person at, you know, keeping a regular register of what I need to give an account for. But the reality is that I know my shortcomings. I know my failures. I don't need you to point them out. You see this one finger? How many we have sticking back at us? So for every time I point that, I'm pointing myself out. I don't know if I'm part of the bride. I might be a very much part of the bride. I don't know. But guess what? The day is going to come when I think even the bride's going to be shocked. How do I know that? Because of what Scripture tells me. Not only that, think about this. Now, I'm going to jump ahead real quick. But notice in verse 17, it says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Now, that's two. And let him that heareth say, come. Do you realize that's three groups of people? What did Jesus Christ say in verse 16? I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Even the Lord says, come. Now that's interesting is we're going to get into this, but it's a far cry different from the word go. Go means that as the church we should be going out. Preaching and teaching and doing every opportunity we can. Sometimes I've found that the greatest Bible studies that I've had is when somebody will ask me a question. Now, whether I'm at work, I remember one time I was working for a little rinky-dink company called Airborne Express. Some of you might have heard of it. We were an overnight delivery company. And I remember in front of me sat one individual, and come to find out he was from Jewish descent. And in his statement, he said to me, he goes, "How do you believe what you believe?" And very simply, I began to show him Christ Jesus just between himself and me. Some of the greatest Bible studies can oftentimes be between you and somebody else. How many times have you ever sat down and answered a question to your grandchildren, to your children, to those that are lost? Every opportunity we have to present the Word of God, we are doing so because we go into the world preaching the gospel and living our lives. Do you realize that Paul was a tent maker? I do. And can you imagine, as Paul was standing there stitching up a tent, someone says, "Well, you know, we're glad to have you on the scene." He goes, "But this is just part of the work I do." "What's the other part of the work you do?" "I'm glad you ask. I live my life." And again, this is not even part of the notes, but I want you to get this as well. Every opportunity we have, we should be giving our best to the Lord. It should be said of us that we are the hardest working, we're the most diligent, and that people can respect what we say because we're perfect. Many years ago, I worked for a little company where we did Reflectone, was the name of the company. And two of the laziest individuals, engineers, that I had ever known, came up to me and they made this statement. They said, "Are you..."
So are we. We're deacons. I've got the shield to prove it.
And they showed me something behind... All right, I want to make sure I'm still there. They had to make sure that I understood they were deacons. And I went, they said, "Well, you work all the time." And I thought, that's the way I was taught. I give my best for the master, not the master just gives his best for me. I have an opportunity to always put a smile on my face. And you do too. Does the world see Christ in you? All right, let's continue on. Once again, we are shown that he has this opportunity to present the Word of God in such a powerful way. However, the message of Revelation is one that needs to be about the gospel of Christ. One of the things I want you to see this. Let's go to Revelation chapter 1 once again. In Revelation chapter 1, I want us to go down to verse 18. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. I take this verse, and yes, I cannot just give you what is there. You've got to see it for yourself. "I am he that liveth and was dead." Do you realize that Christ died for me? Do you realize that Christ died for you? But he did not leave himself in the grave. There is one difference between our... How do I know? And I have the key.
I love this.
He holds the key. I have the keys of hell and death. I want you to think about this. The earth cannot keep him. The earth cannot contain him. And we have the Christ living in us because we have that promise of 1 Thessalonians or 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, that he that is living in you is greater than he that is in the world. But even more so, I want you to see this. What brought us to the knowledge of salvation? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we have this wonderful proof. Yeah, let me get over here. Come on. There we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I want us to look at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I with God, with Paul. Now, this is the gospel. Now, I thought about this for a moment. What is the one area that made you want to know more about Jesus Christ? It's funny, I think Sister Nancy and I were talking about this a little bit earlier today. Nothing scared me more as a young boy than to have dirt thrown in my face. And I went to Dad. I went to Dad and Mom. It was late night. And I said, if I die, don't let them throw dirt in my face. Not long after that, I was saved. And now I could care less. Look what it says. By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory that I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I have delivered. Some are falling asleep. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. We have the testimony of Christ, not only in this passage, how that he was buried. And again, I got to be so careful because I want to preach on my next sermon as well. How that in the Gospel of John, how that Mary comes up to him and she's weeping and she's crying, and literally she turns and she goes, if you just look. As he said her name, Mary. He called you Joe. He called you Janice. He called you Brenda. And I can go around the congregation and we remember how that he called us by name. And the moment that he called us, I knew that I was saved. I know. I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. The Lord's going to rule and reign. And I know he's going to rule and reign because the scripture promises it. Okay. There are some people that they want to excuse the fact. And I want us to take a look at this. Let's go to the book of Romans. I doubt we'll come back to the book of Revelation. But let's go to the book of Romans. And I want to prove to you all that we all have a great responsibility to preach the gospel to everyone we have in contact with. Now, it says in verse 9 of Romans chapter 10 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Once again, all of the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now watch this. We have been lulled asleep. Now I want you to go down to verse 14. How then shall they call on him whom they have not heard, or they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear him without a preacher? Now, is your pastor the only preacher of this congregation? And the answer is no. Everyone that is standing up in this pulpit has had the opportunity to declare the word of God. Bear with me, Brother Randy. We're going to get into Koine Greek. And in the Koine Greek, the word for Russo, which we find simply means a herald. Now, many years ago, I used to go to Wittlich, and I would go to their pig festival. Now, there happened to be a guard that went to sleep, and the only reason that he went to sleep was that he decided that he was tired, and he put a turnip in the latch of the door. Well, a pig, and the pig ate out the root, and he ate out the turnip, and the enemy came in while the guard was got the blood, not the soul, the pig. And they had the pig fest every year. I know, I've been there. And I'm going, isn't it kind of strange that we have that kind of message? But the reality is that a person who has a responsibility is a when the enemy is not found, then people suddenly say, well, that person's cried wolf. But if the enemy comes in, should be doing in every case, and that is a preacher. It is someone that we don't like doing that because it scares us. Do you realize that one of the things we find, and I went in and I took a look at it from other areas, the word episcopos is another term we use for bishop that is found in Titus chapter 1, verse 7. Presbyterios means elder, which we use in 1 Timothy or Titus chapter 1, verse 5. Poimen is a pastor, which we find in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. So guess what? But I want to take our attention, and let's go now quickly to the book of Acts chapter 13. And in the book of Acts chapter 13, we read in verse 1 how that there were those that were now leading the church, but only the Holy Spirit and fasted. The Holy Spirit that interesting. These were not only the two oldest that I believe in the faith, but they were secure in the faith, and they were not afraid to go into the world. the boat. But there was one individual that joined them. How many of you remember John Mark? He was not of the same maturity, and he was not of the same ability. And so when he began to see the hardship, and maybe even the confounding word, John Mark came back. Now let me ask you, if you have the opportunity to declare the Word of God, how many of us have prepared ourselves in the right way to declare the Word of God? And that's something to consider, isn't it? The truth is, we should always look for the care of God. All right, well, the Lord's willing, we'll pick up at point number C in our messages next week, and we'll finish up all of our studies in eschatology, I hope. All right, let's be dismissed in a final word of prayer. So, Lord, thank you again for your mercies, and help us now as we go forth into our next service. Guide and bless, and we will rejoice in thy particular name. For it's in Christ we pray. Amen. God bless. We're dismissed.